Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps. And there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can always send comments through the website. Plus, you can post thoughts, suggestions, and engage with other listeners in the show's Facebook group, which is called CSR Listeners. There's a button for that, too, on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Let me know what you like about the show, any particular guests you've really enjoyed, testimonies that have really spoken to you. Most importantly, let me know how Catholic Sports Radio has helped you in your faith life. And please help me spread the word about the show. I would be most grateful if you would tell others to listen in as well. And by the way, if this is your first time listening, thank you. And do go back and listen to previous episodes of Catholic Sports Radio. There have been a lot of great guests, a lot of really good testimony. As for my ministry moment for this episode, there have been a good deal of coaches on this show, especially lately. And as NFL training camps get underway, I can't help but think of that fateful moment that all players hope to avoid at all costs. It's when they tell you, coach wants to see you and bring your playbook. There are other times when a player gets called into a coach's office, but as we've heard on Catholic Sports Radio, coaches also want to be there for you. They can and should be viewed as someone you feel comfortable going to for a one-on-one discussion that you initiate, where you need to confide something in them. A coach wants to help you and wants to see you improve. And isn't that the same case with our Catholic priests, and in particular where the beauty of the sacrament of reconciliation can be seen? We don't have to fear bringing the playbook that is the sins we've committed since our last confession. Instead, there's an opportunity for us to be renewed and get that motivational speech from our spiritual coach, so to speak. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 22 tells us, quote, "With the ram of the reparation offering, the priest shall make atonement before the Lord for the wrong the man has committed, so that he will be forgiven for the wrong he has committed," end quote. Friends, contact the church office at your local parish, ask how confession is being made available during the ongoing pandemic, and seek absolution so that your priest can send you back out through the victory that Jesus won for us on the cross. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is a strength and conditioning specialist who played 4 years of college football at Michigan State after having played football and baseball at Kalamazoo College. After Michigan State, he went on to be a graduate assistant wide receivers coach at Missouri Western State University and later was an Ohio State University strength and conditioning intern. In his teen years, he attended Detroit Catholic Central High School, where he played football, baseball, and basketball. Currently, he also hosts the Coach Coob podcast. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, John Jakubik.
Thanks, Bruce. That's quite the intro right there, man. Really excited to be on and chop it up about faith and sports and how that all intertwines, and very much an honor to be here. So thank you for having me.
Awesome. Yeah, you bet. And a pretty lengthy intro. And I actually could have mentioned also you're having been sports performance coach / wide receiver academy director for almost 2 years in North Carolina a few years ago. And now today you're based in Florida. So you've really moved around a bit. But let's start by having you tell the audience where it all started for you.
For sure. I'll start here. Born and raised in Metro Detroit, Michigan, a west side suburb called Plymouth, about 30 minutes west of Detroit. Grew up in a Catholic household. Both parents attended Catholic grade school, Catholic high school all the way through. Their faith's been a big part of their life forever as well. So myself and my two younger brothers were raised in a Catholic household. We attended Our Lady of Good Counsel in Plymouth, Michigan. And that was kind of our start, and that's kind of how I got my kick with my faith. And, again, that's kind of where I started with all that.
Well, I mentioned in the intro that you went to Detroit Catholic Central High School, so clearly we're hearing that it's no surprise that you went to a Catholic high school. But what about jumping in with, wow, playing three sports there? Where did you get your inspiration from to so fully go all in with sports?
Oh, man. Well, sports have always been a part of my life forever. I remember growing up, my parents were throwing us in swimming. They were throwing us in lacrosse. They were throwing us in baseball, soccer, you name it. Winter, spring, fall, you know, we're out there. We're certainly not sitting on our butt inside. And I will say this, I think I was very blessed with a lot of athletic ability. So a lot of these sports did come fairly easy to me. And with that, I think it helped me progress and learn to love the game, and not just one, but a multitude of games and in different sports. And I don't know, going into high school, I wanted to do as much as I could, play as much as I could. And I was fortunate enough to make all those teams and, you know, freshman year all the way through senior year. And I'm a busybody as well. So if I'm not playing a sport or I'm not doing something productive, I'm not at my best. So I think, you know, again, playing those three sports and then playing summer baseball in the summertime outside of school, that's just how I operate. Challenges are always in front of me, and that certainly helps me along on my path. So I think inspiration-wise, it's just always been there. It's always been a part. It still is to this day. And I'm forever grateful to the things that sports have done for me.
I like it. I like it. You start heading off to college then, and I mentioned in the intro that you first started with 1 year at Kalamazoo College. Were you prayerful about your decisions at that point in your life, though? How did things look for you faith-wise in those critical years when, as we've heard so many times in the show, it's easy to be tempted to turn away from God and embrace the whole crazy college student life?
For sure. Absolutely. And, you know, I'll even say this. My college decision was, I'm not going to say forced upon me, but I knew that I wanted to play sports in some capacity at the college level. And I was actually hoping to play baseball at a bigger school, do these different things. And I could have potentially had some opportunities to do so. But the fall of my senior year of high school, during football season, the last game of the regular season, I tore my ACL, kind of blew some stuff out in that knee. And I'm not going to say it deterred colleges or whatnot. I don't even know if I would have had the opportunity to go do these things at bigger schools or whatnot.
Sure.
But it certainly, you know, hindered that process a little bit because of the recovery and things of that nature. So Kalamazoo College was one of the very few places that were going to allow me to come in and not only play baseball, but actually play football as well. There's some smaller Division III schools that were letting me do the same thing. And I would like to say I was prayerful about it, but I just wanted to play ball. Yeah. I just wanted to go and play a sport and do my thing. And I wasn't necessarily concerned about where. I just wanted to do it. I just wanted to roll. And Kalamazoo is where I ended up. And to kind of couple that with my faith, I guess you could say, in high school, I think in being in a Catholic high school setting, you're going to mass, you know, you're going to confession, you're doing these different things.
Sure.
Not that it's necessarily forced upon you, but it's just part of the deal when you go to a school like that.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic for me. I was very consistent in that approach for those 4 years. And when I first got to college, I think I got away from that a little bit just with everything else going on. But at the same time, I'm actually, you know, I'm very proud of myself for being consistent with going to mass and going to confession, doing these different things and staying pretty involved in my faith. Definitely not where I was in high school, but I was still involved. And, you know, I had some trials and tribulations at Kalamazoo that first year, but my faith definitely kept me on the right path and things could have went, you know, the wrong direction. And, but no, I think I did a pretty good job. And I think it's just because of that foundation that was instilled in me from quite literally day one with my parents and how I was raised all the way through those high school years and that influence at a Catholic school. So, so yeah, I would kind of go there with that, Bruce.
Okay, but then you go on to Michigan State. And when you were playing football for 4 years for the Spartans, did you have to fight not getting sucked into, hey, look at me, everybody, I play football for Michigan State? Because obviously it's a very well-known program nationally.
Yeah, yeah. You know what, Bruce? Not really, because I walked on up there and I was – you know, I guess big picture speaking, yes, I was on the team. I was doing these different things. But inside the locker room, I was still one of the lower men in the totem pole. So my ego, my pride was always in check because I had to work a little bit harder, do different stuff that most didn't on the team. And I think because of that, it kept me hungry. It kept me fighting. It kind of kept me in check with those different things. But for sure, I mean, once you get outside those walls and people don't know if you're on scholarship or a walk-on or if you're playing, you're not, you know, you got the gear on, you're kind of swagged out and all these football things. And for sure, I think you can fall victim to that sometimes and let it get to your head. But, I had a really good core of friends and family and people that kind of just kept me on the straight and narrow and reminded me when I did get off course a little bit, hey, man, you really, you're not much better than anybody else just because you're playing ball and doing these different things. So, forever grateful for those people keeping me on that path in the right way. And but yeah, sometimes I would definitely say I got astray from a little bit, but never too far, Bruce, never too far.
But I like the testimony of the support group around you and the way that you weren't all alone and having to take this on because of the burden that it can present to some people. So thank God for those that you were able to be surrounded with who kept you in check, as you said. During your time at Michigan State, you did work with the FCA a little bit.
Yep, for sure. So the FCA, to me, it was a really cool opportunity, not even just because of the faith situation involved with the organization, but because it brought all the teams on campus together under one roof. So it wasn't just the football guys or the basketball or the baseball or whatever. It was all these different men's and women's teams coming together for the same purpose. And it was to, you know, develop your faith, move forward in that, but also serve the community, do these different outreaches and whatnot. And I wasn't heavily involved in it. It was kind of sporadic here and there when I felt like it. Sometimes, you know, I just didn't make it a mainstay, but it was certainly a part of my experience there. And I think it's really cool, again, when you're surrounded by people who, you know, are on these bigger stages, the basketball guys, the football guys, whatever. But at the end of the day, none of that stuff matters without, you know, our faith and what we believe in and what we stand on. And that was a phenomenal place to always come back to humble yourself, you know, ground yourself a little bit. And that's kind of what that situation provided.
Well, for me. And by the way, listeners, for those of you that don't know, even though we've talked about it on the show before, FCA is the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. But John, what I was going to say is, you know, isn't it great that it's because of our faith that it doesn't matter if you don't know football or if you don't know basketball or if you don't know insert sport here, all the athletes, all the students can come together and say, not only do we attend the same school, but more importantly, we're bound together in our Christian faith. And so that's great that nothing mattered at that point in terms of what year you were at Michigan State or what sports you played. It was, we're all here because of our love for Christ. And so that's great testimony. Whether you were the head of the campus FCA initiative or whether you were someone like yourself that participated occasionally.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. And I just go back to the leadership, you know, whether it was the men and women who ran the organization at our school or it was the student athletes who, you know, were kind of ahead of the ship. When you got in there, it didn't matter who you were, where you came from, if you went to church every single day or once a year, it just didn't matter. And I think, again, it was a great place to come to with a common purpose and a common mindset and a very welcoming and loving environment. And I think on a college campus, sometimes that can be hard to find. You really have to search out for that stuff sometimes. But they very much provided that, so it was awesome.
Nice, nice. So listeners, you heard all the accomplishments of John's in the intro and in some of what we've been talking about, but of course, there has been no mention of going on to play football professionally, but before I ask him to share with us about his transition away from his playing days, please know how much I appreciate you listening to Catholic Sports Radio, how grateful I am for everyone who subscribes, everyone who sends me emails, all of you who engage with Catholic Sports Radio on social media, and how thankful I am for everyone who is helping to spread the word about the show so that more people can be moved closer to Christ through this ministry. I need all the help that I can get because, as you've heard me say before, I am just a one-man operation here, booking all the guests, doing all the writing, recording, the editing of the episodes by myself every week, taking on all the promotional efforts, and so on. And then there are the expenses I have to take out of my own pocket since I don't have any sponsors and don't get any kind of income from doing this. So if you are able to help out, I would truly appreciate your support of this ministry by way of the Donate to CSR button that you will see on CatholicSportsRadio.net. It allows you to contribute securely online in whatever amount you decide. There's no minimum. And there's not even a drop-down list of amounts to choose from. You put in whatever you want. No contribution is too big and no contribution is too small. There's also the option, and you've heard me mention this on past episodes of people contributing this way, to mail me a check or money order. And that's very helpful for people that just don't like putting their credit card information online. Just use the contact page on CatholicSportsRadio.net to get in touch. And of course, I will be the one who personally writes you back with an address that you can send your donation to. On past episodes of this show, I have detailed many of the expenses that I've had to take on. It's actually becoming a little scary for me, just psychologically and then financially, the way that a lot of expenses have seemed to come up relative to this ministry, but I want to be able to continue to be obedient to God's call and serve him through this show and hopefully help you out in your walk with him. So again, if you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio and it's helping your faith life, I would appreciate your prayerful consideration of helping me out through the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net or by sending a check or money order. So, John, when you transitioned out of playing at Michigan State and into coaching wide receivers at Missouri Western State University, were you at peace or were you dealing with some disappointment of your playing days being over? Walk us through that time in your life.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think when you go to a place like Michigan State and a lot of your friends are going on to the next level and getting opportunities to play in the NFL or the CFL or do these different things, you want to be right there with them. And that wasn't an opportunity for me. Wasn't good enough. Let's just call it what it was. And I think initially accepting that took a little bit of time. And because of that, I wanted to stay around sport a little bit as kind of a bridge to still kind of get that feeling or that fulfillment of what sport has always brought me. And the idea or the thought of just exiting and getting out of that completely was something that I never really considered. So there was a number of different jobs that I was looking at. And, you know, funny story, I guess, with how I got to Missouri Western was I was getting my master's at the time. And the last thing that I needed to do was an internship to fulfill that master's degree. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really have any options. I didn't know, you know, I was applying to different places. Nothing was really popping off, what have you. And I get a call from my position coach at Michigan State and says, "Hey, I think I have an opportunity for you down at Missouri Western. Why don't you give him a call and see what's going on?" And I said, "Coach, you know, it's August, whatever. Camp starts in 2 days. You know, you're sure, you know, I'm the guy, whatever." He's like, "Yeah, give him a call, what have you." So I give him a call. They offer me the job. I fly down there the next day. Mm. Camp starts the following day. Wow. I'm scrambling, trying to learn the offense, do these different things. And, you know, I didn't really put much thought into it in terms of going there, but I didn't really have any other options. So I said, "Let's do it." I prayed on it a little bit. I kind of talked it over with my parents, but I've always been one to kind of believe in myself and trust in my abilities and just go let it rip and see what happens. And that was kind of the result of that. So it was kind of the perfect storm for me where, again, still involved in the sport, not necessarily playing, but coaching and being around those dudes and those different coaches in the sport. And it was perfect for me, Bruce. So I think looking back, I couldn't have asked for a better bridge between the playing and graduating college and my first opportunity out of it.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. But when did you start seeing strength and conditioning as the vocation that you wanted to pursue?
So football coaching was always one aspect that I wanted to kind of see what was going on in. Strength and conditioning was the second. And the reason being was at Michigan State, Coach Ken Manning was our head strength and conditioning coach. One of the finest, if not the finest, men I've ever met in my entire life. When you talk about integrity, you talk about faith, you talk about discipline and courage and whatever, that guy had it. And simply because of him being that and seeing the profession that he was involved in, it kind of inspired me and a lot of other teammates of mine to want to pursue those same paths because of who he was. So, and the weight room helped me out because I was about, you know, yay big. I was weighing 160 pounds coming to Michigan State, and I needed that place, and it helped me out and gave me a shot to go do, or at least sort of do what I could potentially do. So it was always in the back of my mind, and I was kind of involved with it at Missouri Western, because at a Division II school, you have one strength coach for the entire athletic program. So he was kind of running in, and so whether it was in the wintertime or summertime, just helping him out with different things. And so again, it was always in the back of my mind because of Coach Manny, other coaches' influence, and also that opportunity in Missouri. So that's kind of where it started, and it's always been a part, and I just wanted to kind of go after it. So.
Okay. Well, you wrote to me earlier this week, you said, quote, "My faith is the building block behind everything in my life," end quote. Just elaborate on that, if you would.
1,000%. I think we, as human beings, are all born with certain abilities and certain circumstances and different things that need to be shared. One, I think you have to take care of yourself and become the very best that you can possibly be individually before then you can then kind of go out and help others on that same path. Because if I'm not whole, I'm not where I need to be personally, it's going to be tough sell or, you know, a tough influence for others. So for me, in the most unselfish way possible, I try to become the very best version of myself before I can help others on that same journey. And the foundation of that process and that, you know, kind of situation has been my faith. It always has been and always will be. I've certainly had my ups and downs with it, but I think that's where it starts and that's what it ends with every single day. And if I can keep that as my foundation, as my rock, as kind of my North Star, everything in my life so far has always kind of seemed to fall in place. I don't maybe realize it in that moment, but looking back, that's always the answer. So, again, growing up in a household that allowed me that opportunity to learn about that from day one, what a blessing. And I very much think it's my duty and my responsibility to help others realize that stuff too, regardless of where they're at in their life or how they're kind of navigating their stuff. I want to be that for other people, but I also want to be it for myself first and foremost, so I can be the best I can be for them. So, I could talk all day about that, Bruce, but that's kind of where it starts for me.
Well, but even that last statement, I could talk about it all day. The fact that you are so dedicated to it, people will see that in you, and they'll see sort of that piece about you, and they'll ask where it comes from. And then that gives us all the opportunity to evangelize when someone opens the door like that. And yes, I'll say it, sometimes unwillingly, sometimes unbeknownst to them, but that's the beauty of being blessed with the ability to talk to people about our faith, is you can kind of gauge where they're at and gauge where you want to start with it and take the lead from there, and hopefully they'll follow.
For sure.
We're in the home stretch here, but I want to give you a chance to talk about your home life.
Yeah, so kind of crazy, I guess, just like anybody else right now. My fiance and I were supposed to get married this past June, so last month, back in the home state of Michigan. But with everything going on with the virus and things of that nature, we still could have got it done. But, you know, we want to do it. It's a once in a lifetime thing, obviously, and we wanted to do it in the way that we wanted to do it. So we're going to be postponing that till next June. Disappointing, of course, when we wanted it to happen last month for sure. But again, I think it's just one of those situations where God's teaching us something. There's a lesson to be learned in all of this. And while it is disappointing, and it is something that we were looking forward to for over a year, it can wait. It can wait, because apparently there's more things on the horizon right now that we need to address, we need to take care of. And that's okay. And that's okay, because it's still going to happen. It gives us another year to grow deeper in our relationship together and individually and all those good things. But outside of that, Bruce, work is great. Life is great. Faith is great. And things are rocking, baby. So again, lesson learned. It's all good. We'll keep it moving and we'll see what happens in a year.
And just let the audience know about your geographic location and your home parish.
Got you. Yep. So we are down in the panhandle of Florida, most specifically Miramar Beach, Florida. So if anyone's familiar with 30A, a lot of vacations kind of happen down there. But Resurrection Parish in Miramar Beach, Florida, Father Tom Guido is the priest down here. Fantastic. He's kind of helped us along in our marriage prep, which is a really cool experience. He was fantastic in that, along with his assistant, Dana. And yeah, every Sunday we're rocking and rolling. What's really cool about down here is they have, right now they have Mass online, or you can actually go in and participate in Mass inside as well. But then they also have communion on Sundays at 11 a.m., a drive-through communion. So you can watch Mass if you'd like and then go get communion afterwards.
Wow.
They're doing a fantastic job down here. Cannot say enough great things about them. We might be the youngest people in the parish. There's a lot of retirees down here. But you know what? That's a lot of wisdom to go around. So I'm soaking it up. We're soaking it up.
And, yeah, good for you.
And fantastic stuff. So it's all good.
Good for you. Last question. What can you tell the audience about your show, the Coach Coob Podcast?
Yes, sir. I appreciate that. Coach Coob Podcast, helping others become the best version of themselves through challenge and perspective. And when I think about not only my faith, but just every single thing in my life, I always try to view it through challenge and perspective, purposely putting myself into situations that are going to challenge me so I can grow out of them. And not only grow out of them through that challenge, but also in the perspective that I'm seeking with those different things. So whether I'm having people on the show talking about challenge perspective, maybe it's something that I experienced that week that I'm talking about in regards to those things. But hopefully by presenting those challenges and perspective, it's going to help us all along in that path of, again, becoming the best version of ourselves. So rocking and rolling with that thing as well. I think 160 episodes in, I feel like I blinked, and here we are. I feel like I just got started as well. So all good stuff there. Another outlet to hopefully inspire others and also inspire myself along the way. So fantastic platform, fantastic opportunity.
Well, congratulations. And listeners, I will put a link on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net so you can check out John's show as well. In the meantime, John, thank you for your time today. It's great to have you on Catholic Sports Radio.
That was perfect, Bruce. Thank you for having me. And to everybody else out there, hope you all have a great one. Make it a great one. And yeah, thanks, Bruce. Awesome stuff.
You bet. And God bless you and your fiance and your extended marriage prep.
There we go. Thank you.
Well, listeners, let's close with a prayer that we haven't done in quite a while. I think this one's fitting because it's called Don't Quit, and it is sports related, but I think it also is very relevant for the times that we're in now. So let's do it together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, and every one of us sometimes learns, and many a fellow turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup, and he learned too late when the night came down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And when you never can tell how close you are, it may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when your hardest hit. It's when things seem worst. You must not quit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.